This episode is sponsored in part by our friends at Chronosphere. When it costs more money and time to observe your environment than it does to build it, there's a problem. With Chronosphere, you can shape and transform observability data based on need, context, and utility. Learn how to only store the useful data you need to see in order to reduce costs and improve performance at chronosphere.io/Corey-Quinn. That's chronosphere.io/Corey-Quinn. And my thanks to them for sponsoring my ridiculous nonsense. Hello and welcome to Last Week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn. Let's get right into it. Announcing provision capacity for Amazon Athena. This really, really feels like Amazon's inflicting their pain onto their customers and making us pay for the privilege to boot. Athena's too slow? Give us more money. Rings hollow. On the other side of the coin, Amazon EFS replication is now available in all AWS regions. I don't usually bother to cover region expansions, but all regions is a milestone and worth celebrating. Good work, EFS team. No notes. Amazon Redshift launches RA.XL Plus instances in additional Middle East, Europe, and Asia Pacific regions. I'm sorry, RA3XL Plus? Are we just making up animals now? AWS Compute Optimizer now supports filtering by tags. Okay, this is fun once you scratch away the nonsense to figure out what it means. You can do things like give me recommendations for the web server fleet only, and it'll do what you ask. They also launched separate Microsoft SQL filtering as well. AWS Console mobile application launches push notifications. I sure wish it would launch support for YubiKey MFA when using IAM Identity Center for Federation, because until it does, I need to either use a permanent IAM user, which is a bad pattern, or not use the AWS Console mobile application at all, which is a better pattern. Announcing AWS user notifications general availability. My congratulations to the product owner for this new service that really should have been a feature instead. Your ambition does you credit. It really needs a send me everything starter option for smaller accounts because setting this up takes some work, I'll tell you what. Oh, and an API. Please give me an API. Process price transparency data using AWS Glue. Someone at AWS didn't remember their own billing model before writing this headline. Patterns for building an API to upload files to Amazon S3. In a just world that pattern would be, this is clearly a global problem, so Amazon has built a suite of turnkey answers to this, but of course they have not, leaving it for you to go to their digital Home Depot and assemble your own from parts you picked up while wandering the aisles. Improve query performance and reduce cost using scheduled queries in Amazon Timestream. You can further improve performance and reduce your cost massively by not using Amazon Timestream at all. When I want a time series database, no, I don't. When I'm pressed to use a time series database, I use Influx instead. Working with JSON data in Amazon DynamoDB, oh God, maybe it's just me using Python as my lingua franca, but I've always found that working with JSON-like things in that language to be monstrous. This feels like something I very much want someone else to solve for me, please. Tailscale SSH is a new and arguably better way to SSH. Once you've enabled Tailscale SSH on your server and user devices, Tailscale takes care of the rest, so you don't need to manage, rotate, or distribute new SSH keys every time someone on your team leaves. Pretty cool, right? Tailscale gives each device in your network a node key to connect to your VPN, then uses that same key for SSH authorization and encryption. So basically, you're SSHing the same way you're already managing your network. So what's the benefit? Well, built-in key rotation, the ability to manage permissions as code, connectivity between any two devices, and reduced latency. You can even ask users to re-authenticate SSH connections for that extra bit of security to keep the compliance folks happy. Try Tailscale now. It's free forever for personal use. The history and future roadmap of the AWS CloudFormation registry. This post is absolutely fascinating and will doubtless be considered by AWS internally as a massive mistake, as it's directly responsible for me joining the new-to-me CloudFormation Discord server. Partnerships extend Just Walk Out technology to more colleges and universities. And a fine week for it is, as Just Walk Out technology is also extended to Hollywood TV and film writers as well, as their strike is ongoing as of this recording. Quickly build high-accuracy generative AI applications on enterprise data using Amazon Kendra, LangChain, and large language models. This perfectly encapsulates AWS's laggard positioning with generative AI. Rather than talking about the power and opportunity unlocks for your business if you buy their goods and services, instead they're presenting a pile of components you need to forge yourself into something that AWS doesn't quite do a decent job of articulating. I want to be clear, I think this technology is transformative. I just don't want to build it myself from parts. Introducing AWS Verified Access General Availability. The last time a VPN-less service was put out by AWS was Amazon WorkLink, which has oh so very quietly been deprecated in favor of Workspace's web, whatever that might be. Hopefully this one fares better. And that's what happened last week in AWS. I'm cloud economist Corey Quinn, and we go ever onward.